Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week I'm going to talk about setting up a calorie deficit if you want to go into one in January. So this is obviously going up on the 20th of December, but I'm not going to upload a podcast next week. I will be uploading my next episode on the 3rd of January, okay? So I want to basically give you a good plan going into January and not giving it to you when it actually gets to January so you can hit the ground running then, because I just see far too many times people making these mad, wild changes to their diet come January 1st and they're not thinking about laying the foundations beforehand. So yeah, next week there won't be an episode. I'm going to take a week off from the podcast and just spend some time with friends and family, enjoy the festive season and just switch off from social media for a couple of days. But Christmas is only one day and a lot of people let themselves go, which I'm going to move on to now, the do's and don'ts of setting up a calorie deficit. Number one, a lot of people let themselves go in the month of December because they think they're going to be setting up a diet in January, so you know they're going to give themselves a get out of jail free card. Basically, I'm going to eat what I like, I'm going to order as many takeaways as I like, I'm going to drink as much cider and beer as I like, eat all the chocolate in the world because I know I'm going to be going on a diet in January, and I'm going to make the most of this because I know I'm going to have to completely give all this up, which is not true. You don't have to give anything up. You can build anything you like into your diet every single day. So yeah, you're giving yourself a get out jail free card. What you're doing is when you get to January, you're shocking yourself into a new lifestyle, which is very bad. Okay, it's not sustainable. It hasn't worked the last time. It's not going to work this time. You've proved time and time and again, which is why a lot of people give up their diets by mid-January, because they're trying to shock themselves into a new lifestyle. You are going from 0 to 100 in December in terms of food and calories, and then you're going from 100 back down to 0 come the 1st of January, and you think you're going to be able to adapt to that lifestyle like that. It's not going to work, okay? It's not. You might think it is at the time in your little imaginary world. It's not going to work, okay? It's unsustainable. You need to wean yourself out of that lifestyle, and the best way to go about it is be mindful over the month of December. You know, yeah, you're going to probably be drinking a little bit more than usual, you're probably going to be having maybe more takeaways than usual, but it's no excuse to go off the absolute Richter scale because you know you're going to be going on a diet in January. Like, you're just making things 10 times harder for yourself, okay? Which is point number two, going off the rails because you know it's Christmas and you know that you'll be starting a diet. Like, zero movement in January, zero mindfulness zero movement in December, zero mindfulness in December, and then you're going to have to learn all that straight away to give yourself the best chance come January 1st. It's not going to happen. So start practicing it from the 4th of December. Go into December knowing you're going to be starting a diet in January. And am I saying go into a calorie deficit in December? No. What I'm saying is start practicing increasing protein at each meal. I know it's a bit late now. We're already, you know, a week away from Christmas. But, you know, there's still 2 weeks here to start, like, putting that into place. Start having more protein with meals. Start going on your walks now, even if it's only an extra couple of thousand steps more than what you're currently doing. Start looking around at gyms if you want to join a gym. A lot of people get a membership and then they never use the gym come like January. They'll get a membership and they won't step foot in the place. So, you know, I'm going to talk about that coming up now, but it's Christmas is only one day. Like, you don't have to go off the absolute Richter scale because Christmas is literally one day. That's all it is. And I know you have a Christmas party. What's that? One night as well. You might have a night out with the girls or the lads. That's one night as well, okay? You're not going to be out every single night over the month of December. You're not going to be eating out every single day over the month of December. You know, have a meal out once a week, increase your step count, have more protein with each meal, be mindful. So that way when you go into the month of January, you're already after been practicing that and it doesn't seem as cutthroats, it doesn't hit you like a brick wall, and you're already kind of starting to get used to it, because the girls I had in my challenge, like, they've been dropping body fat since mid-October. They've been, you know, building new positive habits that are going to benefit them in the long run for the rest of their life in terms of fat loss and, you know, improving their health. So they have a big advantage going into January now because they've built the foundations. They're going to hit the ground running come January and they're not starting from scratch. So yeah, there's still 2 weeks to lay the foundations, start practicing. But what you're doing basically right now is if you are going off the Richter scale because it's December and you're going to be starting a diet, you're enforcing the bad habits. And it's harder to break that cycle then come January because, like I said, you're going from 0 to 100 for the month of December, then 100 back down to 0, and it's not sustainable. Okay. Number 3, don't make promises you can't keep. So don't say to yourself January 1st, okay, I'm going to do 5 workouts a week, I'm going to do 20,000 steps a day, because I want to lose body fat as quick as possible. That's never going to last. It's not realistic. Yeah, it might seem achievable in week 1 because you've conquered it. Oh yes, like I've proved to myself I can do 20,000 steps a day and I can work out 5 times a week. Come back to me in 8 weeks and see where you're still able to maintain that, because you won't be, okay? It's soon, the reality is soon going to hit hard that you can't keep this up, because you might be someone who has a really, really busy lifestyle and you might have kids, you might have a lot of things to juggle, and working out 5 days a week just isn't achievable. Like some people might be able to make it work, but it's not achievable. And if you're only starting to really, you know, nail down your life, your health and get into this, shocking yourself, similar to point one, shocking yourself into this lifestyle is only going to make you resent it, because you're going to be like, oh, this is so tough. Like, I can't keep this up. I have to keep this up for the rest of my life. So baby steps, sit down, ask yourself and be realistic. How much time have you got daily and weekly to work out, to go on your walks? Be realistic. Stop making false promises to yourself that you're going to make 4 hours a day available to go to the gym and go on your walk. Like, that might not be achievable, and it's probably going to take you a couple of weeks to find your feet and figure out like where you can fit it in, or what works for you, or how long you actually have available. I know no 2 weeks are the same, but if you work a 9 to 5, you might be able to structure better. Like, for example, myself, I would find it hard with structure sometimes, like, you know, nailing down an exact workout time, because no 2 weeks are the same for me. I'm self-employed. Like, things pop up all the time, every week, you know, meetings pop up and loads of things. So I can't really stick to a set day, a set time. I just have to make it work on the go, I suppose. And number 4, don't copy off your friend's workout program and the calories. For the love of God, I used to be guilty of this, and I used to think it didn't matter. It does matter, okay? You're copying off someone else's program and calories that's built for them and their lifestyle. Your friend could be 10 kg heavier than you, okay? And they have to eat more calories than you, and they could be only a part-time worker in their job and you're full-time. Like, they're just, it's impossible to try and compete with that. It is. And you're going to be eating more calories because they're eating more calories. You're probably going to end up putting on body fat when they're losing it. It's just a recipe for disaster. It is. So I'm going to get to that in the deals, but don't copy off your friend's calories. Obviously, you know, use your friend as company for a walk, 10,000 steps or whatever. If that makes it better for you and it makes it more sustainable and more enjoyable, yes, go on a walk with your friend. And don't be going into the gym copying off their program, because they might have said to their coach, I want to grow my upper body, and you might already have a well-developed upper body and you're just adding to that then, and then your legs are getting neglected. Yeah, it's just a recipe for disaster. So don't copy off your friends, okay? And like, if they start losing body fat quicker than you, you're going to be like, oh, well, what am I doing wrong? And then your progress is going to stall, and then you're going to be wondering why. And it's because you're copying off someone else's calories and workout program that's not built for you. So yeah, you're just setting yourself up for failure in that sense. So the next point is number 5. Don't punish yourself when you see the scale on January 4th, okay? So you might have been, let's say, 70 kg going into December, and then you haven't weighed yourself all month, and then you stand on the scale January 4th and you're like 74 kg. You have been eating more than usual the month of December, more carbohydrates than usual. And I always mention in my podcast, the more carbs you eat, the more water weight you're going to hold on to, okay? And that disappears after a couple of days from going to the loo, exercising, etc. It's not body fat, okay? Maybe you might have put on a pound, but how long does it take you to lose a pound? A week, okay? It's not the end of the world. But don't think, oh, I have to take drastic measures now because, you know, I've put on an extra 4 kg. Half of that's probably water. Maybe most of it is probably water. So don't get this attitude, okay, go hard or go home. I want to lose this body fat as quick as possible, so I'm going to really, really punish myself and, you know, like go into the trenches here and do an hour of cardio a day, 7 spin classes a week and eat 900 calories a day. Like, it's not going to last. Unsustainable. Where if you were just mindful over the month of December, you would know then going into January, well, I did my best. I was being mindful, and, you know, this is what we have to deal with. You'll know that most of it is water anyway. If you've been listening to my podcast, you know like why the scale fluctuates, and you'll know that it's not body fat, okay? Water weighs something too, but don't punish yourself, okay? Because everyone's scale is going to spike January 1st. And look, time's going to pass anyway. So you're either going to spend that time continue to add to the scale, or you can spend that time actually doing something about it. There's always time to do something about it, okay? But don't punish yourself because it's not sustainable and yeah, it's not going to last. Number six, don't wait till all the snacks are gone to start your diet. So if you do the big food shop Christmas week, there's probably still going to be loads left over. If you have kids, there's probably a lot of snacks in the house and you might think to yourself, oh, do you know what? I'm going to wait till all these crisps and chocolate are gone. Like, someone has to eat them. I'm going to wait till the box of roses are gone, the box of celebrations. Then I'll start the diet. That could be like the 10th of January. And what you're doing is you're enforcing the bad habits again. You are enforcing them. You can enjoy like crisps and chocolate. You can build them into your diet every single day, okay? It doesn't mean that you have to wait till the multi-packs are gone for you to start, all right? Again, just enforcing the bad habits. You really are. But basically what you're saying is you're not going to start until there's nothing left in the house. Like, if you live with kids, when you're doing the food shop, they're going to want chocolate and crisps and stuff. Like, you know, kids will be kids. Or, you know, your other half might enjoy that. You have to find a way to be comfortable around that type of food. And like I said, allowing yourself to have a chocolate bar in your calories every day, or a packet of crisps, or even both sometimes, you know, that's a really bad approach as well. Telling yourself that you can't have that food, or that food is bad and you're going to wait till it's all gone, because then you will be in a comfortable environment to start your diet. You need to be uncomfortable to eventually get comfortable, okay? Number seven, don't let the scale dictate your feelings. So similar to number five. So when you begin your diet, okay, you might not drop body fat for the first 2 or 3 weeks, okay? Give it time. Rome wasn't built in a day. And I see a lot of people give up their diets because they're letting the scale dictate how they feel. They're like, this is a waste of time. I'm after been at this for 3 weeks and the scale hasn't changed. F this, I'm throwing the towel in and I'm gonna go back to old habits. Time is gonna pass regardless. Whether, you know, like if this is week 3 and you plan to give yourself 12 weeks, which is you should at least give yourself 12 weeks to drop body fat, okay? To drop about 10 to 12 pounds. But if you're crying and throwing your toys at the pram after 3 weeks, like, you're in for a rude awakening, because this shit takes time. Rome was not built in a day, all right? You didn't put it on overnight and you're going to lose it overnight. And the scale will always fluctuate your time of the month, holding more water than usual, poor sleep, more stress. You might not be weighing yourself properly, so you might be doing it in the middle of the day after you've had a meal. Like, always weigh yourself first thing in the morning, after the loo and before your breakfast, okay? And weigh yourself daily. I know a lot of people don't like doing that, but weigh yourself daily, because I mention this all the time. If you only weigh yourself every Wednesday, okay, you could have a drop in the scale this week, all right? And then next Wednesday, weigh yourself, and you could have had a big meal before bed. It could be our time of the month as well. And you weigh yourself Wednesday morning and it goes up 2 kg, and you're thinking, oh, what the fuck? Like, this is just not working. This is a waste of time. I can't win. When you basically feel sorry for yourself, and then you go and order a takeaway that night, go to the shop that afternoon and order a chicken fillet roll. And Thursday morning, it could have dropped down by 3 kg or 2 kg again, because all the water is gone from your system. Or a couple of days later or whatever, you might have seen it dwindle down eventually after 3 or 4 days, and then you have a new low weigh-in. I did this, I documented my calorie deficit during the summer, and people got to see the fluctuations when I'd done it daily. Like, 3 days during a 7-day period, it spiked, and then there was a low weigh-in then, like, towards the end of the week, and then the following week it was the same, and then my lowest weigh-in beat the previous week's lowest weigh-in. But if you're only weighing yourself once a week, you're never going to get to see that. So don't only weigh yourself once a week, okay? If I know a lot of people don't like doing that, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but trust me. And obviously measurements, pictures, etc., they matter too, but like, the scale isn't the big picture, okay? There's a lot more in the picture than just like digital data, okay? Because that's all it is. It's just a number. And everything weighs something in this world. And that number is just telling you the weight of something being pulled towards the ground. And you might have not been to the loo. Again, you could have had a meal sitting in your stomach from the night before. So don't let the scale dictate your feelings, okay? So we're going to move on to the do's now. Do use a TD calculator to find out your actual calorie deficit. Excuse me. Tell it how often you're going to be working out, and don't say 1 to 2 days, okay? So you might be using that calculator, and it's going to ask you how often are you going to be working out, but you might perceive that as how often are you working out now, and you'll put, oh God, 1 to 2 days, if even, and it's going to give you like poverty calories, I call them. because it's going to be like, okay, this person's barely moving, they're not going to need as much food, and then you're going to be starting this calorie deficit probably on 1,300 calories, because you don't need that much food if you're not moving as much. Okay, food is energy, and if you're going to be moving a lot, you're going to need more energy. All right, which is why people who are more active 3 to 5 days can afford actually have more food, because they need it, because they're going to be moving more and they need that energy. So make sure you tell it, oh yeah, I'm going to be working out 2 to 4 days or 3 to 5 days, and it will give you the correct amount of calories for someone of your height, weight and age. And yeah, and it's again, that's, don't be copying off your friend's calories, and that's why. So take before pictures, number two, take before pictures and measurements, and the scale again will always fluctuate, but 5 weeks in, the pictures won't lie, okay? So I remember I was in a calorie deficit for 4 weeks and the scale didn't budge, but my measurements dropped, okay? I lost like 2 inches on my legs, on my hips, my stomach, etc. And then like the fifth week, there was like a massive drop in the scale. So, you know, obviously I was probably having more carbs than usual. I was still in a calorie deficit, but I was probably just holding on to more water. But eventually it happened, okay? And I accepted that it's going to take time. It might not drop this week, it might not drop next week, but I'm going to still keep at this because this is a lifestyle now, all right? Number three. So see it as a lifestyle, not a means to an end. So if you're going to go into this thinking, okay, well, it's week four now, I only have another 5 weeks and then I can go back to, you know, the way things were at Christmas time and eat what I like and all that, you're going to be in for a rude awakening, okay? Because if you're not treating this like a lifestyle, if you're not waking up every day and thinking, I'm just someone who goes to the gym now, I'm just someone who likes to walk daily, and I'm someone who just has protein with every meal, I'm not someone who's only going to do this for 8 weeks. Because when you start seeing it as a lifestyle and this is your identity now, you identify as someone who does all these things rather than you're just doing it for 8 weeks, because that is the mistake that 90% of the population are guilty of. They just see it as a means to an end. I only have to live like this for a certain period and then I can just go back to the way things were. Like, you're not always going to be in a calorie deficit, but what I'm trying to say is the only thing that changes through different periods of the year is, yes, some periods you will be in a calorie deficit, other periods you'll be maintaining, and other periods you'll be gaining if you want to build muscle. But the only thing that changes is literally our portion sizes and the amount of activity you're doing. So you'll be doing less cardio if you're maintaining, you'll be doing more cardio and more steps and less food if you're trying to lose. Like, they're the only things that change, like the type of food you eat, your steps and stuff like that. That's probably not going to change. Like, you're always going to be a walker. Like, you're always going to be going to the gym, but your cardio and your food is the only thing that will kind of go up and down throughout the year. That's it. But when I started seeing this as a lifestyle rather than a means to an end, you know, I actually stopped being impatient and I was like, okay, yeah, the scale didn't go down this week, but I'm going to be in this for the rest of my life, so eventually it's going to have to go down. And yeah, I started being kinder to myself, and I stopped being frustrated because I knew I have the rest of my life to drop this fucking pound of body fat. So yeah, people get impatient when they start seeing the window closing of like these 8 to 12 weeks, but they don't realize you have the rest of your life to catch up, okay? And then the next point is, what point is this? 1, 2, 3, point four. When it comes to the food shop, no, you don't have to eat salads every day, all day. Think of meals you're already enjoying at the moment. So I'm not saying like these freezer bags of goujons or, sorry, that was my laptop. Yeah, so these bags of like goujons from the freezer and Dunnes, like, you know, a lot of that type of food. Like, just think of food from the ground. So like potatoes, vegetables, what else? Like oats, you know, like, so think of foods that you'd enjoy and how can you add to them? Like, how can you make them higher protein, a little bit healthier and lower calorie? So for example, if you like Italian food, like you could get 5% mince instead of full fat mince. Use a food scale and instead of just free pouring your pasta, like, you know, control the portion. I think, like, let's take for example, 50 grams of pasta is 200 calories. You could have been free pouring before, like, and it could have been 200 grams and it was like 800 calories or whatever. That's just off the top of my head. But little changes like that go a long way. Instead of having a full fat mocha, joker, coffee, maybe just get a skinny version and it's half the calories. Little kind of swaps like that. And yeah, so a food scale comes in handy for portion size. Portion size is big time, okay? Free pouring cereal and stuff like that, and, you know, rice and pasta and stuff like that can be a recipe for disaster, because you could end up in a surplus by the end of the day, like, or the end of the week even. So yeah, a food scale's always handy for that type of thing. And like, probably avoid the aisles. If you don't live with kids or live with someone who's mad into their chocolate and their crisps, maybe stay away from the aisles that display multi-packs of chocolate bars and crisps, okay? If you know you will eat the whole pack, until you build up willpower, or not willpower, until you build up a bit of mental resilience, it's probably better to just not surround yourself with them in your home, because it all starts with what we put in our trolley, and our environment matters, okay? It does. Like, when I moved out of my childhood home, I would say, I moved out of my mother's and moved in with my boyfriend. And one thing I noticed after moving in with my boyfriend is he had set meal times every day. So this was during lockdown, so we both weren't working. He would have a set time for his breakfast, lunch and dinner. And I never had that when I lived at home with my mother. And then when I actually started doing that, I noticed that I stopped becoming hungry at random times of the day. And I would be having protein with every meal, like, you know, because I was still practicing calorie deficit at that stage. Like, I was still in the gym and stuff. But meal time has never really crossed my mind. And there was less snacks around the house because me and him were just shopping. Like, when I lived with my mother, like, she was shopping for my dad, my brother. And, like, they were eating shit, you know. Like, they were just, like, getting cakes, chocolate, biscuits, crisps. And that was all that I was surrounded by when I lived in my mother's. But when I moved in with my boyfriend, there was just a better environment there, and it made it so much easier for me to stick to a calorie deficit because I wasn't just surrounded by shit constantly. And then when I was hungry or if I was craving something, I knew there was loads of it there and I would end up reaching for it. So yeah, no one's forcing you to put that stuff in your trolley. And if you do live with people who enjoy chocolate and crisps, maybe you just have your own press or your own drawer where you keep your snacks in it. Like, I know, we, at Christmas time, we buy the tins of biscuits. We live in a granny flat. We buy the tins of biscuits and the big boxes of crisps. And he'd eat them more than I would, but we put them on top of the press, okay? And they're out of eyesight. So, like, out of sight, out of mind. I forget that they're there. And it got to January one year, and I was like, oh, Jesus, we didn't even open that box of biscuits. Because we weren't looking at it every day. If you open your press and, you know, biscuits and crisps are just constantly staring at you, obviously you're going to be tempted. So your environment does matter. Think of ways. Willpower is like a muscle, and it gets stronger the more we use it. So make your environment easier to be around. Make your calorie deficit easier for yourself by creating a better environment, a more comfortable environment for yourself, okay? I know I said earlier, like, oh, don't wait until all the crisps and snacks are gone, but, you know, like I said, have your own press, have your own drawer with your snacks in it, and, you know, allow yourself to have something that you enjoy every day. Instead of having a sheer size dairy milk, maybe have a lower calorie version, like a normal size dairy milk. So the next point is, before you start chopping off calories because you're just being so impatient with the scale, ask yourself, are you actually in a calorie deficit? Have you been sticking to your calorie deficit? Have you been having days where you're kind of going off track, or, you know, you're robbing biscuits on people, taking bits of food off plates, etc. And, you know, you could be in an extra 200 to 300 calorie surplus at the end of each day. That's you not being in a calorie deficit, okay? And that's not being consistent, and we need to be consistent. Have you been moving as much for the amount of calories that you're eating? Because what can happen is, at the start, you are eating the amount of calories for someone who's working out 3 to 5 days, and then your activity starts to dwindle, and then you're not moving as much. So you're eating more calories and you're not moving as much because the calories that you set up at the start were for someone who's supposed to be moving 3 to 5 days, okay? So it needs to all balance up. Rome wasn't built in a day, okay? If the scale isn't moving after 2 to 3 weeks, don't throw the towel in. And just give it time, okay? And don't be chopping off calories like 300 a day and 400, like these massive jumps. That's nearly a fucking meal. Like, if I was to chop off calories, what I would do is I would tick all them boxes first. Yes, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I'm being by the book. I would take away 50 calories a day because that's 350 calories at the end of a week. And that's 10% of a pound. So there's 3,500 calories in a pound, okay? And it could be something as small as that will get you over the threshold. That's it, just an extra 350 calories less of food. Or what you can do is, you can just, if you're doing 3 or 4 cardio sessions a week, you could increase it by 10 minutes, not an hour. Or, like, you know, because if that's like you on week 3 of your diet and you've 12 weeks to go, what are you going to do on week 10 when the scale starts stalling again? Do 2 hours a day? That's not sustainable. So yeah, give it at least 12 weeks as well, okay? Don't be getting frustrated after 4 weeks when you're not after dropping 2 stone, all right? Let's be realistic here. You want to be aiming for about 1 pound a week. So if you're lucky, you might get to the stone mark after 12 weeks, but give yourself at least 12 weeks. Tell yourself on day one, this is going to take about 12 weeks if I'm consistent. And look, be prepared to go off your calories. That's another do. Be prepared to go over your calories. There's going to be days you're going to go off track. Life's going to pop up. Events are going to happen. And some things are just out of your control. All you can do is your situational best. Like, I have loads of clients who tell me, like, oh, my kids were sick this weekend. I wasn't able to get to the gym. That's fine, but you're still at home and you can control your calorie deficit. So that's what they would do. Do your situational best in those situations. And if you can afford a coach, please hire a coach, because you're just going to have a better roadmap, you're going to have better support rather than kind of winging it, and you're going to have accountability as well. It's very easy. I'm human too. I would find it very hard to stick to it as long as I have if I was just doing it by myself. Coaches even have coaches. And yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. So this was quite short, well, 25 minutes. So that was just a quick episode on how to set up the best foundation going into the January period, all right, for a calorie deficit, because everyone's going to be going on diets. And if you listen to this podcast, you're going to give yourself the best chance of setting up the most sustainable approach. But look, I hope you have a lovely Christmas and a happy new year. Thanks as always for all your support and for listening and all the feedback. I will have more guests on in the new year, and hopefully a lot of great things lie ahead for the Coach and Your Brand, as well as my new platform that's going to be launching in January too. Keep your eyes peeled. You can sign up to the mailing list for a special offer for people who are on the mailing list come January, okay? But yeah, thanks Emil as always, and see you in the new year.